It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, the Prince George Cougars podcast. We are speaking with the head coach and general manager of the PG Cougars, Mark Lamb. The last time, Mark, we had you on the podcast was just at the start of the season, and you were very optimistic. Having said that, could you have imagined the great start this team has had?
Well, you're always, like I said, I was optimistic. You know, you're looking forward to a real good start, but your first 10, 20 games, it's all about evaluation but you're still, you know, playing the game to win. And, you know, so far our chemistry has come together pretty quick. We knew some areas that we're going to be really good in, you know, obviously in goal, we have, you know, two really good goaltenders that can, you know, that could be number one. So we knew we were going to, and I guess Lefshin was a little bit of a question mark, but in then RD that were coming back, we knew we were going to be good there. But, you know, the chemistry up front is a little surprising.
How do you account for all the goal scoring? We're going to get into some of the individuals during the podcast, but everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but many of us thought, okay, goals might be a challenge for this team. And then, you know, we take a look and they have not been so far.
Well, because you just never know. And why everybody was thinking that is because, you know, we lost some names, you know, last year and offensive names, you know, Zimmer and Vallas and Height, and, you know, that, and everyone was, you know, that's what you think, that the offense is totally dried up. And but you expect guys to, you know, we get, you know, Parisak, Lajoie, Sherdot, you know, you expect those guys to pick up some slack. And, you know, then you add a couple, you know, an overage and, you know, make a trade for such. And then your depth and your offensive depth is really there. So, but you really don't know if you're going to score that many goals at all.
And through the first nine games, you're averaging close to five per game, 4.8, a number that I don't think you can keep up. But on the other hand, you're allowing 2.33 per game, and you have a chance to keep that up, or maybe, you know, might go up a little bit. But those defensive numbers, I don't know if we're really surprised at, as we talked about, the offensive numbers that are there. But one thing that has really stood out, we always know, when Jim Playfair is running things, the penalty kill is going to be great. It's number one after nine games. But the power play is also number one. Are you more impressed with the penalty kill, the power play, or the fact you haven't lost on the road yet?
No, it all bodes well together. You're not more impressed with one or the other. You know, it's the chemistry part through the whole group, and, you know, our power play is clicking. Like I say, we played nine games. It's early, you know, special teams. Like we knew we're weighted towards, you know, being pretty good away from the puck, and that's shown to be true. You know, the power play is always a work in progress, and you know, even the last couple of years, we've been a number one and we've dropped down, and that's usually the way the power play works. And we feel right now that we got some really good chemistry on a couple power play groups.
A couple of odd things from the first nine games. Let's look back to the Tri-City game. Six unanswered goals in the third, but four of them in a 67-second span. Have you recall any team that has scored that many goals in that short a time?
No, don't. Stuff happens all the time. Different years always bring different, you know, parts to the game. You look around the league and tendencies, and I talk about tendencies a lot, and I really believe in them. And, you know, even, you know, the comebacks in the league right now are something else. Like, you know, teams are down 6-1, 6-2, and they're getting back in the game and losing games. And, you know, for us, there's a couple trends at the end of the game where we lost a couple games that we're totally on us. And, you know, that's something that we can really learn from, that's for sure.
Well, especially the Kelowna game, because it looked like an empty netter would seal the deal. But everything is a learning experience. I talk about each game having its own entity, and I hadn't seen that before, that kind of loss against Kelowna, because it looked like at the worst you would get to overtime. It never happened. But again, you know, at the time, you know, everybody is like, what just happened? But as you look back and you say, okay, well, it's a learning experience, just one game. We're not going to make a big deal. At the time, it seems like a big deal. And probably after every game, it seems like almost a big deal. Then you sort of realize, put it in perspective, okay, it's just not going to happen again.
Yeah, it is a big deal when it happens. And you got to look at it as a big deal, and or else you'll never learn. Like, you don't. You learn a lot, or some things, when you're winning, but you really learn a lot, if you're very honest, when you lose. And, you know, a couple of those games that we lost were totally on us, and you have to man up and take the responsibility and learn from it.
Yeah. As of the early season, Everett is the only team really ahead of you, and everybody knew the Silvertips would be really, really strong. Some may be surprised with how strong Prince George is. Again, we're not going to put too much emphasis into how the team has started. But one thing that we do know pretty much for sure, this team is going to be very, very competitive, will be well-placed, will be challenging for top spot in the BC division, may even win the division. Obviously too early to say, but there is not going to be the drop-off that some may have thought of a few years ago after the Height-Zimmer era came to an end, and that's because the cupboard was full.
Yeah, that's the cover. Like, our 08 draft is probably, you know, could be one of the best drafts that we've had as an organization, and, you know, we're right in the middle of that draft right now. But that's, you know, we've drafted very well in the last few years, and that's why we're in this situation, that you have options to do. And, you know, if you want to make a trade, you can make a trade. But the biggest thing, you know, that we really rely on is developing players and developing our own players. And, you know, and the way we've done it the last few years, and it's just you know, when you see the guys like, you know, Sopiars and Lemire, you know, they were young guys. And if we can't get the guys, you know, the right ice time during the year, we have no problem sending them back. Like our first rounder this year, you know, we did it to Kozicki. We did it to Tarasak. We did it to Lang. We did it to Shergott. And, you know, that's I think there's something to be said with that. You know, kids getting the proper ice time, and then they develop.
Yeah, and, you know, those were guys that were 16, could have made the team, but you sent them back. Then they come back as 17, different kind of players, and eventually, like in the Parizak story, that's very, very well documented about how things came and how he was the last cut as a 16. And, you know, probably some kids may have taken it the wrong way. He looked at it positively, ends up being a first-round pick and all that stuff with the leadership and everything. And then, you know, you talk about leaders and you still, I've told you, you've got the best starting goalie, you got the best backup goaltender, you have the best third-string goaltender, and that third-string goaltender is Demanski, because I still say he blocks more shots than anybody other than a goalie.
Yeah, he's played unreal this year, and that's a real strength. He actually did that as a 16-year-old. He was really, you know, one of the guys that could go out there as a 16-year-old and kill a penalty and block shots. And, you know, now he's really rounding out his game. You know, he's always had it, an unbelievable skater. He's got a really hard shot. Now he's using it a lot. And that's, you know, a lot to do with experience and buy-in on what he has to do to be a real good player here and then take that next step for the next level.
You've got seven players early on that are averaging a point per game or better, and Demanski is one of them. So he's been around for a long time. He's wearing the C. He's known for a strong play in his own end and penalty kill. But you alerted to the fact that he has now developed an offensive flair. Now, he's always been able to have some offense now and then, but he seems to have taken it to a different level. What has transformed with him so that now that offensive part is starting to come around like it is?
Well, I think he's taken Yeah, it's always been in there for sure. Like even back to the draft, and you know, even a couple of years ago, he had 33 points. You know, which is you know, and secondary. You know, he didn't get a lot of power play time, and you know, I just think it's belief in himself. I think he had a really really good summer, which really. You just need to have that. You need to get your head in the right spot if you want to have a really good year. And it's all about preparation. And when he prepared in the summer, he comes in. He knew it was a big year. He knows it's his last year. And I think he put all the balls in the basket, and it's really paying off for him.
We're speaking with Mark Lamb. He's the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. This is the Cougars CatScan podcast. All right. Cooper Gazowski, grabbing all the headlines for this hockey team. Starts off goal per game, averaging nearly 2 points per game, had a point in each of the first nine games. Now, this is a guy you gave up nothing for. You got him on the waiver. What, I mean, how do you find these guys? Last year he showed a little bit of offense with Lethbridge, had played with Spokane. Each year has improved from 16 to 17 to 18 to 19, but nothing to indicate that he would be on fire like this. How do you discover him? Who gets the credit for this? Why is it happening? I mean, this is almost like another Wheatcroft situation. Now, you had to give up something for Wheatcroft, you know, a late pick, but this is starting to sound like a similar story.
Yeah, it's all a body of work. You know, you're always, you know, watching players. You're looking for different fits and chemistry. Yeah, he hasn't put up the big numbers, but he's a goal scorer, and he always has been right back to the draft. And he was a high pick in Spokane, so he was a guy that I had conversations about. He was a guy that that we looked at and for a fit, you know, because he was a goal scorer, and we're losing some. So when he was on the wire, you know, he was a guy that would. It really made sense to take a chance on. And it's as simple as that. That's what we did. But we had to, you know, it just didn't come overnight. You know, we had a book on him, and we were watching him for the last few years, as we do a lot of players.
Right. So how does it come together when that final decision is made? Like, are you getting together with, obviously, with your coaching staff? Are some of the scouts getting involved? Or, like, how is this all? Give us behind the scenes. What happens for the Cougars to land Cooper Gazowski before you pick him up on wires?
Well, just what I said. We did, you know, we had conversations about him before. So we knew the book on him. We knew everything about him. And I didn't know, you know, he was an overage. And the waiver wire came out and his name was on it. So he's a guy that I thought that, you know, we'd take a chance on, and, you know, you never know if you're going to get him because it goes on the standings. And the year before, we were up there, you know, one of the last picks. So he went through, and we had open spots too. That's another thing. We had open spots in the overage. So for us, it was a no-brainer.
But, I mean, even you have to be almost amazed at the offensive production he has provided you early on. I don't know how much he's going to be able to keep it up, but it's obvious he's going to put up big numbers for this team.
Yeah, he's got the opportunity to do it, and he's taking advantage. And that's what it is, too. You know, you're playing with good players. You got to find a fit, and he's got a really good attitude. And he, you know, when we picked him up, you know, the first conversation, and that's what he totally thought. These guys know, all these kids know that we've put out some 20-year-olds and they've moved on in their pro career. And that's the first thing he said to me, that he was looking forward to doing it. And he knows the history around here. And I, you know, the only thing you say is come in shape and give yourself an opportunity. And he's done that.
We talked in the last podcast about NCAA rules changing. WHL teams losing players. We talked about, you lost one in Reich. But if these rules hadn't changed, would Brock Sutch be a part of the Prince George Cougars?
I would say probably not. And Ash wouldn't be part of the Cougars. Cahill wouldn't be part of the Cougars. Who else? Finnegan wouldn't be part of the Cougars. Yeah, there's a few guys on our team that wouldn't be.
And that's really, you know, so, well, you know, teams are losing players, you know, as you mentioned, there's three or four there. Now, I brought up Such because it was interesting. I talked to Leland Mack, your head scout, on the podcast, oh, two, 3 weeks ago. And he knows Brock, as you know, very, very well. And he was telling me that as a 16 and a 17-year-old, he wasn't the greatest skater of all time. And I said to him, what? And he said, yeah, like, because on that opening weekend, the thing that stood out to me, watch, holy smokes, this guy can skate. And Leland was saying, it's happened in the last year or two. Now, I don't know if, you know, you want to comment or something like that, but here's a guy that's averaging a point and a half per game, fitting in extremely well, skating looks great. And Leland says, you know, as a 16, he wasn't the greatest skater of all time. It's amazing how sometimes it takes a while for different players to show what they can do.
So what happens with a guy like Such is his work ethic is so high. Like he doesn't take practice stride off. He just works so hard. And so for a guy like that, you know, I look back on all the reports that our scouts had him, and skating was one of the things that they brought up. But with his work ethic the last few years, he's worked on it so much, and now he's an unreal skater. He's one of the fastest guys on the ice every night. And so I just put that to a lot of real hard work ethic, and he really wants it. He's been excellent since he's been here.
So if you take a look, your power play has been excellent. Your penalty kill has been good. You're scoring twice as many goals as you give up, playing very well on the road, haven't lost, doing well at home. Somebody takes a look. It's very, very early. Where's the weakness? Where do you see somebody look at the Cougars and say, well, there's a weak spot there?
Well, there's, I don't know about weaknesses, but areas you want to get better. You know, in the face-off circle, we'd want to get better there. You know, little things around, and your team is always under construction. We talk about it all the time. But you know, when you're on a roll, you know, everything kind of looks pretty good. But as coaches, you know, we break down the little things and you know, how we're playing in our own end, how we're, you know, our rush reads, how we're coming back, you know, a lot of hockey talk stuff that we could get better at.
Right. Carson Carls, I think the expectation was very high for him when he joined you as a 15, got to play regular as a 16. I see, there, you know, all the scouts have him rated first round for next year's NHL draft. And I see somebody now that will take over games and not just be very good in games. I'm not saying this happens every game, but there are some times, like, for example, if I go back and when you played Kelowna, because I watched that game very closely because it was a home game, you couldn't take him off the ice. And the reason you couldn't take him off the ice, he was playing so darn well. Now, Demanski was getting about as much time too, but there seems to even be a different gear for him this season.
Yeah, Carson's a special player, as we all know. And the thing about Carson is he's got a lot of offense, but he's really a 200-foot player that plays really well away from the puck, and where he's taken it to a different level is he can wow you on offense at times, and then on defense, which is not so sexy, which everybody sees, but he does some excellent things defensively, closes on you quick, his stick is getting really good, and he's big and strong, and he's getting very physical, so he's turning into the full package.
Alexander Levshin has become an early fan favorite, the backup to Josh Ravensburger, and plays like a starter. And he's, you know, you can't use him in the U.S. now, at least not yet, but he will at some point once he gets his paperwork. But he's become another story with the Cougars.
He's been excellent, and he's quite a guy. His personality is exactly how the fans see him and how he plays the game. He's full of energy. He's full of life. Yeah, it's just too bad that we can't get him over the border yet. But he, you know, the type of kid that he is, when we're leaving early in the morning, he's there to greet the guys to say bye to him and put him on the bus. And when we arrive, like yesterday, he's right there and saying hi to everybody. So he's an exceptional teammate.
Anybody else you want to talk about that we haven't really mentioned? Because there's been a lot of guys that have contributed to the strong start. And, you know, not all of them are the big names, but you have been getting consistent play really from everybody. And the, probably the most difficult decisions you have are who are going to be the three or four guys that have to sit.
Well, that's the hardest, and that's what a guy hates the most. And we do. We have depth and you know, Hamilton, Finnegan, and, you know, the two Johnsons and Cahill, they've been moving in and out, and all of them have played very well. So that's the hardest part. But, you know, some guys that really go unnoticed, I think, on our team are Yakutsenak. He's played very, very well for us. And then, Caden Lemaire, a young guy, he's taken huge steps this year. But like I say, I don't like, talking about the guys too much, because everybody is really, you know, playing like they're supposed to. And I really like the way the team is kind of gelled. And when we're playing on the road and we can stay out of the penalty box and not take too many penalties, I think we're a real strong four-line team and 6D deep, even deeper with the guys that we have sitting out.
Anything in conclusion you want to mention to the Prince George Cougar fans as you get set for a lot more games coming up, busy schedule, all of those kinds of things, very successful start? I mean, you have to be a pretty pleased coach and general manager at this time.
Yeah, you're always, you know, pleased, and it's always under construction, and I'm pretty happy with where we're at. But, sports, it's day by day, because it changes pretty quick. But we're going to stay the course.
I appreciate it. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars, and you have been listening to the Cougars CatScan podcast. Have a great one.